Tonight I'm going to share God's word using an analogy of the courtroom. And you will see in a moment. Some of you know that right now I'm serving on a jury for a very big case. And I'll be doing this for approximately 7 weeks. Now, even though it's the world's court, my mind and heart are guided by the truth that God will reveal to me. I trust that. I ask him to before I get started with my day. And I'm asking him for wisdom and clarity each day of my life. Not just, this applies to you too, not just when I'm in this case or in court, but any day I ask for clarity and wisdom from the Father. So when you humble yourself like that, Almighty God hears that, and he's ready to give you what you need. This sharing is about the world's spiritual court, okay, to be more specific, and how those before us have had God's truth to stand on, as we've seen in the Bible. Do we have God's truth to stand on this day? Mm-hmm. Yes. Is that a resounding yes?
Yes.
Yes, we do. We do. The world's truth flickers backwards and forwards. Sometimes it's truth, sometimes it's a guess. Not with God. You want the truth? Go to his word. Call on the Father and be ready to get that. Jesus Christ came into the world as our Savior and Deliverer. Okay? He's our Savior and Deliverer. And in the process, he's also our Counselor, Advocate, and like we know, our Power of Attorney. I'm seeing a lot of attorney these days, but none of them have the power of Jesus Christ. The world has many, many tests and ways that they insist will prove on our status in life. I know you've seen it. You may not remember. I see it. But you know what? I grab my mind and realize who I am in Christ. My identity is not what the world says or the status that they show me. It's what God shows me and tells me in his word through Jesus Christ. And there's no better identity to have than that. But it's much more truthful with our Abba Father. So let's look in Psalms chapter 7, please. Psalms chapter 7, and we're going to go to verse 10. Now remember, I'm associating the world's court and the way they do things with God's word, and you'll see how they tie in, because actually our court system was founded on the truth. It's supposed to be founded on the truth anyway, but there's always someone trying to weasel out of that. So what do? They go to trial, and they have a jury to make a decision of yay or nay. Like I said, when I go into the courtroom, actually, before I get out of bed, I'm asking God for help for the day. Right now, he knows what I'm doing, and he knows that I need his wisdom and clarity. So, Psalm 7:10 says, "My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart." Are you upright in heart? If you are, God is your defense, always and forever. Go to Proverbs 19, please. The world has many, many devices to try and trick us or get us to think of its way of doing things. But what does God say in his word? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Try saying that to a judge in court. He goes, what? You know, but just because you're not the judge or you're not an attorney, saying that in your heart is the truth. And the truth shall make you what?
Free.
So Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. There you go. God didn't say there's one thing in man's heart. No, he says there are many devices in man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. There you go. He's the counselor. The counsel of the Lord shall stand. It's real easy, like I said, to get tugged on and pulled in different directions. But when you keep God's word in your heart and you stand on that, no matter how complex or how simple your situation is, God can and will help you. We just have to say, Father, show me. Father, teach me. And guess what? He will. One of the verses in Psalms, if you will, and that's going to be in chapter 19. They're all great verses, and there are many more, but for the sake of fellowship, we're only going to look at a few of these. Psalms 19, and we're going to look at 7. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Is the law of man perfect? No. If it were, why would we go to court? Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's what God wants for you and I. He doesn't want to complicate our lives. He wants to show us the truth and the simplicity of that. When a person lies, they find more excuses to build that lie up. And what are they doing? They're digging the hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And then at one point, they're no longer able to get out of that hole because they've compacted all these lies to support what they call the truth. God doesn't need that. It says here, wise the simple at the end of the verse. So, I don't know about you, but I can remember with my mom and dad when I was growing up, I told what we call a white lie. No such thing. And I try to support that by twisting the story around. And mom, they're so smart. My mom would look at me and she goes, is that what happened? And it's like, oh, how can I say no to that? No, mom. And the truth came out. The truth came out. Let me go back to my notes here. We don't have to take any tests. We don't have to prove we pay taxes or pay local utilities when it comes to our heavenly citizenship. Our time as a citizen of heaven will not expire. Why? I'll tell you why. Because on our identity card of who we are, it says eternal. That's on your identity card. It says eternal. Ain't no stopping you. And because we are the lights in the world and speak the testimonies as sons of God, ready to what? Serve. Ready to serve. In the world, we have our Father's will to do. Again, knowing our citizenship is in heaven. And when you know that, it brings this peace to your heart, knowing that when this flesh life is through, there's something that's going to last a lot longer. As a matter of fact, forever. And it's called eternity. Yes, we'll have new bodies. And what will we be doing? Only God knows. But I do believe that it's going to be something very exciting. Something that's just, I mean, I can't wait to see what are we going to do when we've got forever to do it. Mm-hmm. So if you have any questions for the Father and you see a long line when we get there, don't worry about it. Your number will come because we're going to be there forever, right? So there's no express line, but God will hear you. He'll hear you. Yeah. When I was in court, witnesses were called to confirm and validate the truth by their testimonies. That's what happens in court, okay? People are always cross-examined. I've seen plenty of that. Bottom line, there will be punishment served to the guilty. First of all, we don't have to pay anything to prove our citizenship. I mentioned that to you earlier. Christ has justified us and has already did that on the cross on our behalf. And again, once and for all, once and for all, it cleaned our slate. We do not need to bring back to the forefront of our minds the mistakes we've made in the past. First of all, you're not going to be able to change them. Second of all, there's no profit in that. And more so than those two, God says he's forgotten our sins as far as what is from what?
East to west.
East to west. So, you've heard this a million times. Why do you want to remember them? God's not going to have a courtroom up there saying, okay, by the way, Al, yeah, you've got eternal life to enjoy, but first you've got to go to court for all the junk you did on earth. That's not going to happen. Thank God it's not. Okay? There's no test or trial that we will be a part of. Bottom line, no test or trial that we'll be a part of. The evil one is constantly trying to test and tempt you and I every day. Like I've said before, there's a tool shed with a tool in the shed with your name on there. Let him take it out if he wants to, but do not let him use it for you. Okay? You stand firm on God's word and just say, leave, leave, leave. Our answer is, when he does that, is, for it is written. For it is written. And if he's stupid enough to say, well, what's written? Say, okay, let me show you all these things that God says about me and about you. The evil one has tried to cross-examine and tempt our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and has failed over and over and over again. He has failed over and over again. Why? First of all, Jesus Christ stood on God's word. Praise his name. He stood on God's word. We're no different. Jesus Christ was a man when this happened. And that's what we do. When you see that guy trying to throw a curveball at you, just say, I'm standing on God's word. You don't even need to throw the ball at me because it's not going to mark. It's not going to make a mark. Let's see what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 17, Philippians 3:17. I will be reading this one out of the NLT. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. This is what we're to do. We walk as those have shown us. And then it goes on to say, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And we have those people today. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. We see that all the time. People have gods of different sorts, different fashions, different things. Everything but the one true God. Their end is coming. But they may think they're winning, but they're not. They're losing. They're what we call, they're deceiving themselves. God's not trying to trick them, but that's what's on their heart and minds. In verse 20, for our conversation, or another word for that, our citizenship. For our citizenship is in what?
Heaven.
Heaven. Heaven. You don't need a visa or a passport. You are a citizen in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has all this figured out for us so that we don't have to step on any landmines. All right? Now go to Psalms 33:10, please. Psalms chapter 33 and verse 10. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant 11. Psalms 33:11. I got my glasses right here. Psalms 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth for how long?
Forever.
The thoughts of his heart to all generations. that includes us and the ones to come until Jesus Christ comes back. But that he's not come back yet, it's to the generations after generations. And the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Again, he's our counselor. He's the one we seek wisdom from. And God is always there for us. And there's no need to sell yourself short of that. It's just an honor and such a huge privilege that we have the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, to go to. You know, these people that I'm seeing in court paying these lawyers thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and there's no guarantee that they're going to be victorious. Jesus Christ already picked up the tab for you and I, and it was once and for all. So we need not have to worry, oh, I don't have enough money to give Jesus for what I did. It's already been taken care of for you and I, because God so loved this world. In court, the judge tells the jurors not to base their decisions on gender, color, race, creed, or appearance, but solely on facts. Solely on facts. Let's see where God looks. Okay? And for this, I ask you to go to 1 Samuel 16, please. And when you get to 1 Samuel 16, please go to verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the what? Heart. That's where you are motivated in life, from your heart. You know how you've seen something in life, you go, man, I love it so much. That love is coming from here. You're expressing this strong desire you have in your heart for a particular thing. Well, I think it's pretty smart that God says, I'm not going to look at that guy because he's 6'5", or because he's got all these muscles, or because she's the best cook. I'm looking at their heart. I want to really see what's there. That's where your treasure is hidden too, right? Now, here, Jesus is speaking of God's lost sheep and is talking to the 12 apostles and how they will end up in the world's courtroom. But let's hear his instructions as our attorney and counselor for them in this case. And for that, we need to go to Matthew chapter 10, please. A lot of good information that you can learn from God's word from those who came before us, and they're applicable to our lives today. Matthew 10 and we're going to start in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, and enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's drop down to verse 16, please. Same chapter. And 16 continues by saying, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of who?
Men.
For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. If it stopped right there, you'd be scratching your head. But it goes on. Verse 20. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, which speaketh in you. That Holy Spirit connection with the Father connects us to what He wants us to do, what He wants. He puts this on your heart, and you'll know. You'll know if it's a coincidence or it's really God speaking to your heart. So you don't have to worry about what you're going to say in any given situation. So in conclusion, what the world tries to do to our lives is always a mistrial. It's always a mistrial. The verdict instead is we are victorious as our citizenship is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you that we don't have to appear in any courtroom when we have eternal life to live. But just the opposite, Father, we are free and free indeed. Jesus Christ endured the price on behalf of us. He is our counselor, our advocate, our power of attorney in this world. The world sees through their physical eyes, but we know life is spiritual. We know that each one of us has a journey, and we know that we can be wiser, all the wiser, as we look to and through life with our spiritual eyes, Father, because the heart is the great motivator. So I pray for each person here tonight that they can have the peace knowing that you have the answers. Jesus Christ was one of them, once and for all. So I ask that you help us not to hesitate to do what's right, not to hesitate to do your will, irregardless if the world doesn't like it. We know that you are the approver of what we do when we do your will. So I just ask you for each person here that you build them up, Father, with a peace in their hearts, knowing that with you all things can be done, and with Jesus Christ, all things are possible through Him that strengthens us. So I just thank you, Father, for this evening's fellowship, and that I trust we all can know a little bit more about your ways and your thoughts and put them to use in our lives, Father. Because, again, this world constantly is trying to test and tempt us, but for it is written, like Jesus Christ told the evil one, so can we. And it's in Jesus Christ's name, Father, that we thank you and pray. Amen.
Amen.
That's